B-Pod Studios.
App. Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
Not yet 5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Burt Greer from MMQB joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Breer.
Hey, Fred. So you're not getting divorced, right?
No, thanks for bringing it up. But no. No. I thought some of the hashtags.
I saw that Instagram post. I actually drive to Emily. I'm like, is this serious? Because, like, the influencer hashtag, like, did get me. Like, I'm like, all right, like, he's probably kidding. But it was so deadpan that I just couldn't tell.
I thought that the hashtags would, people would know I was kidding. But I have to put out some fires on Monday.
I was like, should I reach out to him? Like, I sort of like was like, I felt like, oh man, like I don't even know what to say to you. I'm glad you're still happily married.
Yeah, well, I'm still married. No, I'm just kidding. But okay, listen, you talked about. I can't believe you just brought that up. Okay, so
I'm trying to look out for you, Fred.
Thanks. No, I am not getting a divorce. Now, listen, you've talked about this, like, virtual training in your new column. What exactly is virtual training? Like, what are they trying to accomplish? Are they workouts? Are they strategy sessions? What's going on with those things?
Yeah, so, well, they're allowed to have, and these rules sort of were put in place at the beginning of all this, like, this time of year, there'd normally be they'd normally be going into, I think, phase three of the offseason program, which means they'd actually be practicing, right? Like, and they'd be allowed a certain amount of hours of practice, certain amount of hours of meeting time, and basically what they've done is they've said, okay, we're going to allow 2 hours of virtual meetings, which, you know, is Zoom, Microsoft Teams, whatever it is, like your normal meetings, right? So you get 2 hours of that. And then they're allowing, you know, 2 hours of conditioning and weightlifting and that sort of stuff. You know, and my first question for a lot of these guys is, does that mean it's like a Peloton class? Like you're putting your strength coach on there? And the answer I've gotten from most teams, at least, is no. And, you know, really what it is, they don't use the full 2 hours for strength and conditioning. They'll basically get the strength coach on there. And, you know, he'll say to the players, okay, I want you to work on this, this, and this. And so, you know, for the most part, you know, the 2 hours allotted for strength and conditioning, they're not really using that. They're just putting the strength coach on there. Maybe some individual guys need some instruction. But other than that, it's just basically giving guys direction for what the strength and conditioning coaches want them doing every day.
Okay, but doesn't all this virtual regulation seem ridiculous when you've got Tom Brady working out with his players? And I mean, first of all, did any teams bitch about that? And second of all, is that something that, even though they're not supposed to do, coaches might be kind of on the sly encouraging their players to be doing right now?
Yeah, I'm sure Bruce Arians isn't telling Tom Brady to stop doing it, if that's what you mean.
I mean encouraging them to do it. Like these teams,
right,
that can't open their facilities. Like, I mean, because when I saw that happen, I'm like, the league is trying to keep people from, you know, doing stuff like this. And Tom Brady did it. And I don't think he broke any rules. But in the meanwhile, are there other teams saying, maybe we need to figure out a way to send a message for our players to start doing this without us being culpable of telling them that we said so?
I mean, it's like the same scenario as the lockout 9 years ago, right? Like where they actually, during that, they couldn't communicate with the players. But, you know, really it sort of fell on the quarterbacks to organize those things themselves. Yeah. And if you guys remember, Brady had workouts at BC in 2011 where all the Patriots went there and worked out with him. So a lot of times these things fall on the quarterbacks where the quarterbacks are actually – the ones getting the players together and getting them working together and having them in place so they're making up for everything that they'd be normally doing this time of year they can't because of the rules. The reason why, of course, Rich, that you can't have, players coming into team facilities right now and it happening on campus is because there are a lot of states where it's not allowed. And so, the whole idea here was if one team can't by rule have practice at its facilities, then no team can do it. If one team can't have meetings at its facilities, then no team can do it. And there are a lot of teams, including the one here, that by rule wouldn't be able to run an OTA practice based on, the regulations on gatherings and everything else. And so at least for now, the way the league is going forward is saying until every single team by its state's rules can open up its facility, we're not going to let any team open up its facility.
But if you're someone like Bill Belichick and you're in a state where you can't do that, do you think that he is sending a message to someone like, or Josh McDaniels is sending a message to someone like Jared Stidham and going, dude, maybe you get the guys together and go somewhere and try to practice a little bit?
All the stuff we hear, Rich, before the draft every year about guys' character and how much football means to them and everything else, right? You hear that every year about, how they assess players. That's where this comes into play. I had a conversation with Sean McDermott about this a couple weeks ago, and he was saying to me, he's like, everything we've emphasized in players we've signed and drafted and traded for over the last few years, you just sort of have to rely on that you've put together the right kind of team, because really it is on them now. And so the teams that have more mature players, that have veteran players, that have guys that know what they're doing, are at a huge advantage now, because those teams have players in place that are going to organize these sorts of things. And if you guys want to go back again to the 2011 lockout, the last time there was a situation like this, who were the two teams that were playing in the Super Bowl? It was the Giants and the Patriots. Both those teams had quarterbacks in place long-term. Both those teams had coaches in place long-term. Both those teams had a ton of veteran leaders. It was no mistake that in 2011, when this scenario presented itself, that you had two teams like that playing at the very end. And so, it's one of those sorts of years where I think, teams that are stocked with veterans, teams that have coaches who've been in place for a long time, and teams that have just the right kinds of guys in their locker room are at a big advantage.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen N'Keal Harry, you've seen Dak Prescott, you've seen these guys working out a month ago. So it doesn't seem to be a lot of shining.
I mean,
go ahead.
Yeah, No. The point is, Rich, I know what you're saying, that Belichick, with Belichick or with Bruce Arians or with Adam Gase, would, Joe Judge, any of these guys be making those phone calls? I think the hope for each of those guys is that they wouldn't have to. The players would just do it themselves.
What's Sammy D there doing there, Fred? Is he taking the bull by the horns? What have you heard?
He's just been at the Hustler Mansion. I mean, that's all he does is he hangs at the Hustler Mansion.
All right.
He's working out his hips.
All right. So, Bert, speaking of Tom Brady and quarterbacks, okay, so there's this new 9-part documentary that they've announced that his production company is going to put together, kind of like the Jordan one. I mean, obviously, because of the success, it's totally and completely while they're doing this. We were talking about how we've seen too much on Brady lately, especially by his own company. And he's got this movie coming out, an IMAX film as well, from the guys who did The Avengers. I think it's the same company that's part of that. We've seen Tom versus Time. 5 years ago, this is something I would have wanted to see. Is there anything that he could put in this documentary that's 9 hours long that would give us any kind of reason to watch it the way that Jordan's did? Because just the personality doesn't seem to be there. We know a lot about this guy. Is there an avenue that they could explore that you think would make this worth watching?
I think they would have to get, to me, a lot of this is going to be dependent on access and who they get, right? And if you've heard Brady tell his story, he obviously told his story in Tom versus Time. He told his story in the Brady Six. So we've seen two of those, right? To me, it's about getting the other sides of these stories, right? And I think it's going to be the appeal of it is going to be based on conflict, and how much conflict in Brady's life is covered and how it's covered. And so is Lloyd Carr in it? If you want to go back there to the whole situation at Michigan, is Drew Henson in it? Is Bill Belichick in it? Are they covering what happened in 2017 and 2018? Is Jimmy Garoppolo in it? I mean, if you want to go real deep, is Bridget Moynihan in it? Like, there's just, to me, like, there's, like, a lot of things they could do that haven't been covered fully, because a lot of the stuff that we've seen on Brady thus far has been incredibly Brady-friendly. And to me, like,
all those people you just mentioned, they're either still the mother of his child or they're still working. And that's a problem. Like, when you got
Tara Reid, is Tara Reid going to be in this?
Just show me Tara Reid talking about Tom Brady for 2 hours. I'll watch that.
Perfect.
Just follow around with the camera.
I have a feeling she'd do it.
You mentioned people that were working. She's not, so.
What's that?
What you're saying is that time needs to pass, right?
Yeah, time needs to pass because these people have something to lose right now. Horace Grant, he doesn't care. Horace Grant's not playing for anybody. He's been out of the league for a while. Those guys all have the ability to talk trash and there be no consequences. Jimmy Garoppolo says something bad, and then, you know, there could be backlash around the league. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I totally get what you're saying. I mean, I think, like, you know, Phil Jackson's ability to speak freely. He's not coaching the Lakers anymore. I mean, it might have been a problem for him as recently as, what, 2010, right? Like, sure. It might have been, like, even, like, after 12 years had passed since the championship. So, you know, I'm with you there. But I do think, like, a big part of this is, I mean, look, like, we know the positive side of Brady's story so well at this point. You know, we know about winning the job at Michigan. We know about being the sixth round pick. We know about telling Kraft and the best decision your franchise has ever made. We know all of that. All of that's been covered. So, you know, to me, I think so much of this is going to be, you know, how they cover the conflict in his life and where things haven't been perfect. And, you know, I think one of the biggest challenges too is, I mean, if you're one of these other guys and you look at the way the Jordan thing was covered, I mean, I was wildly entertaining for me because that, I mean, Jordan's, you know, the last two championships were when I was in high school. So it was great to watch that. You know, but I mean, it was very much, that was very Jordan friendly. And I think anybody who was sitting down for an interview for that probably knew which way this whole thing was going and how it was all going to be portrayed. And I think the challenge for Gotham Chopra and all the guys that are going to be producing this is, if you're Bill Belichick or you're Jimmy Garoppolo or you're Bridget or you're whoever else, do you want to sit down for this knowing that Brady's got, in essence, final edit on it? You know what I mean? Like, so.
And the other thing too, Bert, that we said made that Jordan documentary so successful was that it was dripping with 90s nostalgia, which was awesome. And everyone loves that kind of stuff. And you know, the Brady stuff, you know, let's go back to the Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl, which was a couple of years ago. You know, you don't get that, you know? And so they've really going to have to open up some scat or just find some sort of storyline or angle that we don't know about to make it anywhere near as interesting as the Jordan documentary. I know why they're doing it. Everyone's trying to, it's like when Star Wars was a hit, all of a sudden Krull and a bunch of crappy sci-fi movies became greenlit. It's because everyone wants a formula and thinks that they can make it as successful. But in this case, Jordan's just a way more interesting character than Tom Brady is at this moment.
And here's the thing too, like Jordan in 98, right? Like, let's say they did this in 98 or 99. And, you know, I mean, we're all of the age, like, when we were, that was, like, it would have been really hard to do anything even remotely negative about Michael Jordan then, right? Like, he wasn't really seen as that flawed a guy then. Now, like, you know, he had the year with the Wizards. He has failed as an NBA owner. Like, you have the crying Jordan memes. I mean, he's been sort of picked apart now where he's not this, like we've seen his flaws now, you know? And so there's totally different context to who he is. Is Brady as perfect as his image has been sort of manicured? Like, and where he is right now and how we all look at him right now, is he willing to open scabs, you know? And is he willing to be less than perfect? And is he willing to show a side of him something he hasn't shown before? And to me, like, that would be such a huge piece. Like I said, like, so much of the key to this is like how much conflict you're willing to show and how much flaw, how much weakness you're willing to show. You know, that's what I think would appeal to people. And, you know, based on like how hard they've worked to cultivate this image for Tom, I don't know if I trust that they're going to be able to do that.
No, they're not going to make him seem human. I mean, they're going to try and they're going to half-ass it, and people are going to bag out of that after a few episodes. All right, well, Bert, it is always a pleasure, sir. Enjoy your long weekend. And when do you get to start traveling again? When is that going to all get going?
I don't know. I'm like everybody else. I think it's just sort of, you know, we'll see. I'm not sure.
All right. Well, Bert, it's always a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much for the time.
All right. Best to you and your wife, Fred.
All right. All right. Take it easy.
Born out of caring, Fred. He
yeah,
cares.
Yeah. Born out of ball busting. All right. So we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
An app.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
Not 8.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Bert Breer from MMQB joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Breer.
Hey, Fred, so you're not getting divorced, right?
No, thanks for bringing it up. But no. No. I thought some of the hashtags.
I mean, like, I saw that Instagram post. I actually tried to Emily. I'm like, is this serious? Because, like, the influencer hashtag, like, did get me. Like, I'm like, all right, like, he's probably kidding. But it was so deadpan that I just couldn't tell.
I was kidding. I thought that the hashtags would, people would know I was kidding. But I have to put out some fires on Monday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. As much as I do enjoy Taco Bell, I gotta admit, before 7 o'clock in the morning, not the best decision to have Taco Bell before 7 in the morning.
And this wasn't a bean burrito, this was a chicken soft taco?
Yeah, it just doesn't... It's not the same. It's not the same. The sun's got to be up. You got to be in that kind of mood. I've learned a valuable lesson.
I have wronged. Yes. I hope my body forgives me.
Did you see that John Krasinski sold that some good news thing that he's doing?
Yeah.
Yep.
And it was like he sold it. Isn't that totally anti what that was supposed to be? Like,
I don't
wasn't
think
it
so.
Supposed to be some cutesy little thing that he put on the internet to get everyone's spirits up?
Well, I mean, I guess he could argue that it reaches a bigger audience now since he sold it, and why not make money from it?
Yeah, why not feel that way year-round, Fred?
Yeah, well, okay, but isn't the whole point, like, his daughter, like, put some sign up or like that? It just seems like he kind of passed it off as he was doing something so wonderful for free, and now that there is this, now there was a bidding war, and now he's getting paid for it. It's not like the guy needs money. It just seems anti-ethical of what he was doing.
Well, it wasn't a charity thing. It was just something he was doing to make people feel good. But
yeah, it was some hippie nonsense. I understand that I never watched. I mean, I never like sat down and said, ooh, John Krasinski, I hope he has some good news.
Oh, there was an episode worth watching where it was the first one, where he sat down with Steve Carell, and they just talked about like The Office and filming. It was like behind-the-scenes story of The Office, and it was – it was great. It was really good. I think I've watched like two, and they both involved the cast of The Office at certain points. But I mean, you know, he did things that, you know, we all read about. You know what? I did watch the one where, you know, they gave the nurses tickets to Fenway Park and they had them throw out the first pitch. I watched that, and you're right. But I mean, I saw that story too, and my opinion was just like, okay, well, I mean, if you're going to give money to do it, sure. I mean, why would you say no to money, you know?
Because you don't need it, and because I thought the whole point of it was philanthropic. Now, I saw one, I mean, it wasn't like the actual episode, where it was someone's wedding or something.
Virtual prom? Is that the one?
No,
the wedding one was the one where he invited the cast of The Office to go to their online wedding. I thought that was actually pretty interesting. Like, they couldn't get married, so what's that?
It sucked.
But it's
they
a cool story.
Like
that,
idiots.
Like, but all the well, I mean, that part was awkward. But to say that, you know, all of the cast members of The Office watched my wedding, that's kind of neat.
Well, they were just the people were sitting on the couch.
Yeah.
And by the way, I challenge if that was live, because some of that didn't seem live. But regardless, I mean, it was corny. It was just people dancing around. If I want to see the cast of The Office, I watch The Office. I don't need to see this hippie shenanigans. Some good news. Go sell it. It's a true crime drama. Jesus.
Yeah, I don't even know who it got. It was like a CBS Online or something like that.
It got sold to, I guess there was a bidding war going on, and the Viacom CBS has picked up that show, which I'm sure will be a huge hit, because now that he's had The Office on twice, I don't really know what else you're going to do, but that's, you know, sometimes just people want to get paid. They take something that was supposed to be this nice little charitable thing that made people happy, and then he just sells it.
I think he started it that way. But I mean, if someone comes to you and says, hey, this thing that you kind of did just to screw around, we're going to give you millions of dollars if you let us run it. You would say no to that?
If I'm John Krasinski, I would say that, you know what, maybe it's better if we just let this guy die. Maybe it's better that if we just don't do this anymore, rather than going out and taking some stupid concept of mine and making it something much bigger. Yeah, I saw that. I found it was very distasteful.
Sorry, Fred, real quick. He had 2.75 million subscribers within the 8 weeks that it was on, and some episodes got as many as 17 million views in a week.
Yeah, you should have to. You should pay.
You missed the one that they did with the cast of Hamilton where they all sang?
Yeah, somehow I missed that.
And did like a they did like the Zoom box. It was really, really fun.
You know, there's been a kind of a few attempts at stuff like this. Not like the good news part of it, but, you know, they're trying to bring people together. And I attempted to watch one the other day. I think it was the dude Josh Gad. Josh Gad is the voice of Olaf. You've seen him in some movies. He's like a character actor. He was one of the original guys in the Book of Mormon that the South Park dudes did. But he's, you know, you would know him if you saw him. But he was getting all of these actors from different movies to reunite, and he did one with the Goonies, and there's part of me that was like, oh, this is cool. We talked about it. Listen, I'm a sucker for, like, nostalgia. So I turned on, I looked at it, and after maybe, like, 3 minutes, I just got sad. I just was like, oh, man, that person looks like that. Oh, and that person turned into that, and oh, age, behold the ravages of age, and I just wanted to turn it off, and like, you know, of course, you know, what's his name, you know, Brand, you know, Brolin still looks good, he's Thanos, you know, he's keeping shape, he's still in movies, but then you saw, like, what was the awkward girl that was a woman that was in the movie, oh, she was in Parenthood and a bunch of other stuff, I saw her, and I was like, yeah, Ke-Huy Quan, Short Round still looks great, he's doing good.
Short Round.
AKA Data.
That's a good pull. Short Round's a really good pull.
Short Round's looking good. He's doing okay.
Well, Josh Gad was like the first to do something, and he would like read children's books. And I'm thinking, My kids have no idea who you are. Like, why
tons of kids do, though. He's the voice of Olaf.
Like, I mean, understand you, that, but yeah. it wasn't animated Olaf. It was Fat Josh Gad. I mean, that means nothing to, I would imagine, many, many youths. It means nothing. So, listen, this coronavirus time has sucked. But, I mean, I'll tell you what, none of this virtual stuff helped. I can tell you that right now. None of this stuff that they put online has helped at all. But it's good. Except for when they did Imagine. That was when.
Oh, yeah.
That was when I knew that Hollywood had our backs.
I do love the fact that a lot of the people from Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul put together them all singing in very serious tones Eat It by Weird Al Yankovic to bind us all together as a response to them singing Imagine. Because, you know, you need celebrities singing, of course. That's the one thing that makes us all feel better about this world.
Will Ferrell, very disappointed in Will Ferrell, his ability to have that lack of judgment. Doing the Imagine. Imagine doesn't even make sense. First of all, the ego on these people to think that this is going to do anything for anybody. But listen, maybe if it was more of a hit, he could have sold it to the Good News Network, who could have passed it on to CBS. I got some good news. All right. The Office cast for tonight for a Zoom wedding with John Krasinski on some good news. Yeah, that I love The Office, and I found that cringe-inducing.
I just cash in. They need to do this right now. I mean, The Office, can you believe it? Even though it's not on TV, has never been hotter. Like,
oh, yeah.
Netflix has turned this into a phenomenon. A new generation is into it. They got to just throw money at these people. The amount of money Netflix has, and, you know, even during the, like, they're one of those coronavirus proof companies that people, like, more people went to Netflix because of the situation. Just give them anything they want and you'll still make money if you do a reunion episode, maybe three like mini episodes. It would be massive, and I would think that, you know, Krasinski would be one of the guys who would get the most money. It would be Carell would get the lion's share. And then you would think Krasinski, Dwight, and Pam would be the three that would get the second biggest. There's no question.
Right. All right. Was Carell done anything recently?
Oh, he's going to be in that new Space Force show, which looks great. Have you seen the trailer for it yet?
No. Is that like an Apple TV thing?
Yes.
Is it Apple TV? Is that who's doing it? Either way, that's going to be the one thing that's going to make me want to, like, subscribe, because it's Greg Daniels who did The Office. Like, you know, he's the guy behind that. And it's Steve Carell, John Malkovich. What's his name? He just died from Best in Show. Fred Willard's in it. Jane Lynch is in it. A couple guys from Silicon Valley are in it. It looks like it's going to be unbelievable. And it's all about the new proposed Space Force that's put out there. Dude, it's going to be great. If you haven't seen the trailer, it's amazing. I mean, so I'm counting down the days for that. I think it comes out the next couple of weeks.
All right. So, well, we'll have all that for you in the next couple of weeks. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher, Rich, Wallach, and you.
Dan, go ahead.
What could possibly go wrong?
Fred, you are infuriating.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yo, the things ain't coming fast enough. There is no cut that's clear enough. I can't fold, I need gold, I re-up, I reload. Product must be sold to you. I'm deep down in the back streets, in the heart of Medina. About to set off something more deep than a misdemeanor. Under the subway, waiting for the train to make noise.
98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And Xanadu is a guy who is he rollerblades around town. He's got his rider jersey. He's got a Bruins flag that he flies.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also got big news, personal news, and then suggestions for how the Bruins could finish out their season. Mr. Xanadu, hello, sir.
Hello, sir. Thank you, Fred. I've always appreciated the encouragement and the respect you've given me for getting my education. And I now have a master's degree. I've worked hard, and I am so glad. I'm so glad I finally have gotten through that program, and I got the thing. So thank you all for being so supportive over the years.
Wow. Masters in rollerblading.
Congratulations.
That's right.
Masters in rollerblading. Yeah, I could have gotten that years back. Nope. Masters in mathematics education. Graduated BC High in high school. Graduated UMass Amherst. And now Masters from Framingham State University. I have 100 different suggestions. Maybe I should get a Masters in business with the Bruins. But basically, they all come down to how do I watch the Bruins win the Stanley Cup in person? Because that is one of my defining characteristics. And this year, it's killing me. Because 1 year ago today, we had the Bruins Avengers in studio, and that was one of the most awesome experiences.
Was that today? Was that today?
That was Friday before Memorial Day weekend last year.
Are you kidding me?
Wow.
Okay, because I'm with you. That was one of my favorite days too. Like I loved it. It was insanity, and like the way that the layers kept happening. Like, we didn't expect half the people to show up that actually showed up. Like I mean, I think that the NWO Bruins, like they showed up. There were two different factions of the NWO. There were two Ric Flairs Bruins, Ric Flairs that showed up. I mean,
Chief Wanamakum Cheer was there. I mean,
right.
It was a scene.
Yep,
it was a scene.
I remember one of my favorite lines was before that is Big Scary Man Guy and I were waiting. We were there early, so we went rooting for the Bruins, and you said, we got 20 minutes to kill. Let's go root for the Bruins, which was exactly our thought. We're up on the bridge waving the flag. You're like, seems like a good time for us.
Remember how quickly Xanadu had to get out of there?
Oh, yeah.
The minute we turned off the mic, the
dude had class to teach. I remember that.
That's right. He had to go as fast as his
class starts at 10:04. I literally walked in the building at 10:03, rolled upstairs. The students were like, where were you? I was like, check the Chitter and Rich podcast later. You'll find out where I was.
You know what? I loved that day. So it was right before Memorial Day weekend. I mean,
game one was Monday of Memorial Day.
Man, we met. You know what? Maybe going into Memorial Day weekend, maybe in the 9 o'clock hour, we might need to relive that. Like, that was just. That was phenomenal, and to be quite honest, like it's one of those things that I think back upon, and I'm like, all right, that was when I think about my time in radio. That's going to be one of the things that's going to make me laugh the most is that there were like how many people in studio? It was like we had like 50 people in studio time. But all right, well maybe we go back and relive that.
And the BWO walks in, and someone says, "How'd they get in here?" Because I screamed. The door downstairs is locked. Somebody let them in.
Yeah.
Like, and of course, we all try to get a rivalry going, and then Rich just gets us going like, yeah, what rivalry? We're all screaming the same thing. We want the cup.
Yeah, that was great. That was something. All right, so Xanadu, you said you have a plan. Like, you obviously are very pissed, and as most people, and I've said it before on the air, the sport that I miss the most right now is the Bruins. Like, everyone wanted to see them. This just felt like it was going to be their year. What is your proposal? What are you feeling as a super fan is what they need to do? So as a super fan as yourself, how do you feel they should finish the season?
Well, I think they, whether or not they do regular season, finish the games, point percentage. I mean, honestly, I don't care. Just get it done. Just get us to the playoffs in a way that benefits the Bruins for having been first place in the league. Whatever you got to do, get us there. And then once we get to the playoffs, just let me in. Like, I can cheer enough for 16,000 people. Just let me wear the mask and root for the Bruins.
Like, don't you want them to play in Marlboro? Like, isn't that something you suggested?
I would love if they played in Marlboro because I live out on 495. It would be an easy trip. But you guys mentioned on the radio yesterday that's not realistic. But then again, I'm not a realistic person, so I'm just going to keep rooting for that as long as we can.
I'm all for that. Have every team designate their biggest super fan and have that be the only fan that's in the arena. Just like one guy on one side and one guy on the other. And every reaction shot just be that one dude sitting over there. Like,
Xanadu could cover a lot of ground. I mean, he could just go around in circles in the concourse.
That's a good point. That's not a fair fight.
I could rollerblade in the garden, just do the laps on the concourse, or even better, you've got 30 sections up on the balcony, one fan per section.
No, one makes it way more awkward. Just imagine if, like, in the NBA, if the finals were like the Clippers versus the Celtics, like, you'd have Clipper Daryl on one side, and then on the other side be Aztec Gino just all by himself with a shield. Number one, Celtics.
Do I strike you as someone who ever feels awkward? Like, the camera's on me. I'm not gonna be like, oh no, there's 20 million people watching me. I'll be like, yeah, that's it. Me, none of you can yell louder than me.
All right. So let's say that you had your moment, and, like, you know, this is they picked you to be the one super fan that was allowed in the arena, and beforehand they bring the camera to you and they want you to give a pregame pump up speech that's no longer than 45 seconds. Xana, dude, what would that speech sound like?
This is it. This is our time. This is the chance to make it happen. You've got one person here representing everyone. The entire city of Boston is rooting for you. We have all been in our houses since mid-March, and this is what the city of Boston, this is what New England needs in order to get us out, to get us healthy, make it happen, make us all feel proud, give us something to feel wonderful about as we go into this summer. This is going to be the cup of the COVID, and you people are going to bring it home so we can have a virtual parade or something. Who knows? Let's go, Bruins!
Okay,
the cup of the COVID.
That's catchy. I like that.
That sounds like some off-brand sci-fi film.
Off the top of my head. I didn't have this.
Ah, listen. It came off the top of your head. It's actually a sequel to The Dark Crystal. The cup of the COVID. All right.
The cup of the COVID. Well, yes.
Xanadu, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks for putting me on the air. Have a good day.
Yeah, all right. Thank you very much, Xanadu. I think, to me, that's not a bad idea. Just get one super fan for each fan base and have it be the only fan in the arena. And when there's a goal scored, they just show the one guy dancing in the arena. And then they show the other guy going, oh, drats.
Rich, I got a question. Which book did Tolkien write about Cup of the COVID?
Oh, the Cup of the COVID. That would have been chapter 48 in the Silmarillion, because there are indeed at least 48 chapters in the Silmarillion. No one's really read it, so nobody really knows how many chapters in it. It just exists.
I got an email that was real pissed at you. For saying that no one liked that book.
No one liked that book.
I can't remember what they said, but they were pretty pissed off. I didn't understand anything they were talking about.
Just like the book, nobody understands it.
Yeah, I was like, they're like, yeah, and it makes this point and so, and it's the story. And I'm like, I got no idea. You're emailing the wrong guy.
I should have fought with him. Have him to, if you find that email, forward it my way, and I will doth joust with him verbally over the Twitter machine. How dare you? I shall summon an army of Uruk-hai towards that horrible take.
An army of what?
The Uruk-hai. Part man, part beast, part tree bark, but
urine.
All evil.
The urine guy.
Not the urine guy, the Uruk-hai. How dare you disrespect Tolkien?
The urine guy, otherwise known as the fast food.
The urine guy. That would more likely be Gimli. Those dwarfs, not very sanitary.
P&P?
No, well, P&P. P&P was more of an evil orc, I would think, yes. Born from the trees.
P&P just gave me one look and attacked. All right. We will be back. Maybe we could do that replay coming up at 9 if the guys can get it together in time. We will be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
More of Toucher and Rich.
Stuff is never what you think it is.
On Boston's home for sports.
Some people just love to speak in emoji there, Fred.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
985 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, with the news that Xanadu just gave us, that indeed this is the one-year anniversary of all the Super Bruins fans coming into the station. If you would like, starting at 8 o'clock, we could relive that moment.
This is, I've got to be honest, I'm legitimately excited. And I didn't realize that this was the anniversary of all that going on. But you know what? Dan's right. This is like Krasinski's version of some good news. We're going to give the people some good news.
This is a lot of some good news. This is
Me. It's good news for the audience.
Everyone wins.
Let's call it some great news.
Great news. That's right.
But I mean, no better way to really kick off Memorial Day weekend with something that kind of gives you a taste of what it used to be like. You know, something that
and what it could be again.
I mean, there's no question.
We probably wouldn't have that many people in the studio again, but I mean, that's going to take some time. But I will say this, is that, I mean, nothing has led me to believe that there won't be a NHL playoffs.
Nope.
So, I mean, this is something that we will be hopefully celebrating within the next couple months.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, if you're a sports fan or just a fan of normalcy in general, I will be honest with you that this the last couple of weeks have been very positive, Krasinski style, even though he got a lot of money for that. But, you know, with the sports talking very seriously about coming back and the opportunity maybe to return to some sort of normalcy, it will be good. It will be good to relive those moments,
Rich.
The moments that we miss so much.
Yeah, no question. And it's weird, too. It's like, you know, we were talking on the other day on the air. We're kind of putting in order which leagues we thought had the best chances of coming back. And Michael Hurley, of course, completely stole what he heard on our show and wrote an article about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are you going to do? Hurley's given us so many gifts throughout the years. He sifted through all of that Deflategate paperwork when we didn't want to.
I follow him on Twitter. Mm-hmm. He's showing a pass in the Clemson Alabama game, I can't figure out why. Like, did the Patriots didn't draft a receiver? I don't think, and then they certainly didn't draft a receiver out of Clemson.
No,
so I'm like,
now
what
is this?
Say,
let's tank for what's his name? Taylor Lawrence is that?
No,
what,
no,
Trevor.
Trevor Lawrence, is that what this was about?
Let me see what he put up there. I forgot how cool Renfro's flip of the ball to the official was.
Hunter Renfro, who plays for the Raiders?
That guy?
About, all right.
He's talking, and, yeah, by the way, Lawrence isn't quarterback in this game.
So what's going on?
Oh, man.
Is it Deshaun Watson at quarterback at that point? It's an African-American gentleman.
It's got to be.
Didn't they go to Deshaun? Who was between Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence?
I don't think there was a between. I think Lawrence was a quarterback as the freshman, right?
Yeah, he was a quarterback as a freshman, yeah. And this would be his third year. I don't know. I to be honest with you, I don't know. But he's taken the highlights of the Alabama-Clemson game from Lord knows when. And put those up on the internet.
We've all gone crazy. I found myself on the you want to talk about everyone going crazy and finding the dark ends of things like Netflix and stuff that you didn't know existed. There's a documentary that it was actually a listener who sent my way that I stumbled across yesterday. Have you heard of this thing? This documentary called I Think We're Alone Now.
No.
Have you heard of this? Oh, that is, you know what? I actually pulled a clip from it that later I will pull. It's a documentary about these two guys who are stalkers of Tiffany, like the 80s singer Tiffany.
Why?
Dude, that's a great question. So think about it. If you're someone as insignificant today, no insult to Tiffany, but honestly, I mean, she's not like the person on the tip of everyone's tongue nowadays. If there's two people this insane about some random celebrity from 30 years ago. Can you imagine what modern celebrities have to deal with?
No, it's crazy.
So I'm watching this, and it's a nightmare to know that people like this exist. For like, they go into one guy's room and just, you know, it shows him talking and he's laughing. Like, everything's so funny. It's not a big deal. You know, the difference between stalkers and people like me is, you know, people like me, like, truly love these people. Like, I love them and I care for them. And in the background, you see these, like, pictures he's printed out of Tiffany. And then the camera pans and all over every wall in his house, it just, as it goes, it gets more terrifying as the camera pans, is just picture after picture after picture. There's thousands of pictures of Tiffany throughout this guy's house. So you want to talk about everyone's gone crazy? Like, I found myself watching a movie about two people who are obsessed with I Think We're Alone Now woman from the 80s. So I'm going to give Michael Hurley a little bit of leeway on this.
Well, they must hate Bert Kreischer because he has the story about getting her number and maybe could have had sex with her.
Oh.
So there was a time where Tiffany was very, very attractive. She did Playboy, the whole nine. See, I know a lot about Tiffany, too. All right. No commercials, just the headlines. Then we will bring you one of the great, great moments of the show from a year ago today.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.